So today I'll be talking about the concepts of stress and depression, the South Asian immigrant experience. And again, my name is Amber, and we have no relationships to disclose. So before I begin, I'd like to just thank our two sites that opened their doors to us, the Asian Human Services Family Health Center and the Indo-American Center, and our funding source, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. So according to interim census polls, South Asians are the fastest growing Asian American group in the United States, and most of the South Asians that live in the United States are immigrants. And there's a rich body of literature that shows that there's a complex interplay between immigration and mental health. However, we don't know how South Asians specifically conceptualize mental health issues. And we also don't know what their sources of stress are and how they perceive health effects of this stress and depression. Which brings me to the current study. The objectives of the qualitative study that we conducted are to describe how South Asian immigrants, one, explain experiences of stress and health, two, manage their stress, and three, explain health effects of stress and depression. So there's a larger study being conducted by our group regarding health, disease, and heart disease in the South Asian population. So the data from this study is derived from that larger project. So the study entails semi-structured, in-depth interviews of 75 people from the two sites mentioned previously. 45 were from an FQHC, and 30 were from a community center, and both of which are on the north side of Chicago, if you guys are familiar with Chicago. And the respondents self-identified as either Asian Indian or Asian Pakistani, and they spoke English, Hindi, or Urdu. There is a slide missing somewhere. All right. So as part of the larger study, we included three questions to elicit these concepts of stress and depression. And they were, what do you think are the major diseases affecting your community? How do you think stress, tension, or worries affects your health? And what are these stresses? So the 75 interviews were taped, transcribed, and translated all into English by a single trilingual person who also conducted all the interviews. We developed a coding scheme based on a pilot 10 interviews, and then we loaded all these interviews into a software program called InVivo, which we used to code and run all of our analysis. So this is what our population looked like. Among our participants, we had half men and half women, who were mostly between the ages of 20 and 59. 65% had a college education or higher. A little over half reported having no insurance, with 24% on public aid and 12% having private insurance. 71% had lived in the U.S. for 10 years or less. And in terms of religious backgrounds, Islam and Hinduism were the two most common, with 68% being Muslim and 21% being Hindu. So we compared the characteristics of this population with the Devon Avenue South Asian community in the 2000 census, and they were similar in regards to immigration, language, country of origin, and age. So what did we find? These are the most common terms that were used to describe stress and depression by respondents. In English, they were tension, worry, and depression, and in Hindi or Urdu, there were many thoughts, sadness, and nervous. It became apparent in the interviews that these terms were actually used interchangeably, and they sort of possibly mean the same thing, although we didn't dig very deep regarding that. When we asked respondents what they thought the major diseases were that affecting their community, they listed stress and depression as the number one disease. Interestingly, they also hit upon some of the other major diseases affecting the community, including heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, and hyperlipidemia. So we were interested in asking about the sources of stress from our respondents. The three most common sources of stress were, as you see, family, finances, and children. And here we split up family and children in our analysis. And the reason we did this is because we thought there's a subtle but important differences. So if they mentioned their family in general, like taking care of their family, we list it as family. If they mentioned their children or child rearing, then we list it as children. as you can see that a common response was family, and they're actually pretty equal numbers between men and women. But if you look at finances, more males than females responded as finances being a source of stress, and then more females than males responded as children or isolation being a source of stress for them. So an example of something that was we coded as children is, I have daughters, the atmosphere is bad. The surroundings and friendships will affect them. That's all I worry about. An example of something we coded as isolation is, quote, I keep thinking about, obviously my mother's not here. I can't tell it to anybody, so it all stays inside. So next we were interested in understanding how our participants manage this stress or depression. Faith, prayer, positive thinking, and communication were the three most common responses. As you can see, faith and prayer and positive thinking were pretty equal between the men and the women. However, women were more likely to employ communication. And interestingly, very few people mentioned medical treatment, as in seeing a doctor or a psychiatrist or something like that, a clinician, to treat their stress or depression. So an example of how a lady spoke about using prayer as a method to manage her stress is, there's only one way. Pray to God, read your namaz, pray to God, keep doing so, then I feel better. And a good example of how communication was employed is, everybody meets downstairs in the hall, we sit together, we laugh, we talk to each other, then this is the only way to get rid of your tension. And finally, we wanted to understand how South Asians explain health effects of their stress and depression. So the four most common problems included sleep disturbances, heart attacks, hypertension, and appetite disturbances. And as you can see, there's fairly equal numbers between the men and the women. So a quote from a gentleman who described his sleeping disturbances is, yeah, it affects my health. I sleep less in the night. If I start thinking once and I cannot sleep for 2 to 3 hours, therefore I think this, that, I don't have worries. Take God's name and go to sleep, then I can get some sleep. And a quote from another gentleman who talked about heart attacks and how stress can lead to heart attacks is, the stress can cause more pressure on the heart and makes the heart muscle weak. And eventually the heart will fail. The heart will fail to pump the required blood. So there are some limitations to the study. The major limitation is that there's a lack of generalizability to all South Asians in the United States due to our small geographically restricted sample. Of course, we only sampled people in Chicago. A larger study would allow us to determine an exact prevalence of depression within the whole U.S., within our South Asian population. Also, we didn't use a clinical evaluation to diagnose depression. Interviews were not focused necessarily on depression and stress. In some ways, this is more telling because even though we were talking more about heart disease and health in general, they actually opened up their hearts and really they focus on these stress issues more so than anything else. Oh, sorry about that. So we can safely conclude that South Asian immigrants identified stress and depression as the top disease affecting their community. However, despite this, our respondents discussed these concepts in a social framework rather than a biomedical framework. And we know this is pretty consistent with previous studies that have shown that South Asians actually think of mental health as a social phenomena rather than a biological one. And management options that were most commonly used included faith or prayer and talking with friends and family. They did not employ the medical system to manage your stress and depression. So what can we learn from this? We can take away that interventions offered in religious and community organizations may be more effective than ones in clinics based on the management responses and choices of our population. However, when clinicians do interact with South Asian patients, they should explore how their social context in terms of immigration, acculturation, economics, etc., is how that's impacting their mental and physical health. And lastly, we also need to have a better understanding what treatment options would be acceptable for this population, and that will help us determine and develop further interventions. And that's it. I guess we'll be taking questions after.